We're going to do a little studying together. When I was at the Orient prison, it's been back a few years ago, when I spoke, you could speak back then on things you cannot speak on today. Amen. They've clamped it down, they've tightened it down, so you can't really get into any strong doctrinal issues like you could at one time. But this is one of the services I spoke at. This seemed to be the most important topic among the inmates. I mentioned the origin of Satan a few times in the message, and it stirred something up with the inmates. Now, the scriptures used to propagate the theory sound very convincing until they're scrutinized by God's word. Amen, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I have been corresponding real lately here. I got a letter from a minister who was in a Chillicothe prison. He saw a trumpeter and he saw a message I had in there. Amen. So he wrote me a letter letting me know that in essence, I was not teaching it correctly. He took the Revelation, the 12th chapter, where I'd mentioned it in the scriptures, and of course he literalized those scriptures, amen, and surely if you don't know the truth, it looks like, amen, anybody would say that God created the enemy, amen, is completely off track. First of all, we need to admit that there is a devil and there is evil present in this world. There's a devil, there are spirits of evil that are working to destroy, confuse, and oppose the work of God. The devil has a devouring nature, and he's continually at work against the people of God. Go back to the book of Job. Job, the first chapter, and just verse number 7, it says this, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Now we know he's not going to and fro in the old earth and walking up and down for exercise. We know that. Amen. What's he doing? He's seeking. Here we get a picture of Satan and his workings in the book of Job. But he hasn't changed his position from Job's day to this day. Amen. What is Satan doing? He's still seeking. Amen. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5 and 8, speaking of the same devil, he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about what? Seeking whom he may devour." Satan is considered to be the god of this world. Paul, when writing to 2 Corinthians, the Corinthian brethren, he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, "And whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan is opposed to you and I receiving light and understanding. And it's in Jesus Christ, dear one, that we see what God is really like. In Jesus, we see God's love. In Jesus, we see his compassion. We see his, amen, his mercy, his truthfulness. All the attributes of God are found in Jesus Christ. Satan is out to take the God out of the Christian's life and leave them with a dead formal religion. Amen. And many are finishing in the flesh that which had begun in the spirit. Paul, writing to the Galatians, mentions this very thing. He says in Galatians 3 and 3, He said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Satan would love to switch every one of us over from the spirit to the flesh. Fleshly services. Amen. Singing to please people. Preaching to please people. Testifying to please people rather than God. Amen. Doing works to please men instead of God. Satan would like to have you and I think that, amen, that he doesn't exist. But he's real. And he does have power. Amen. And his power lies in darkness. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, says this, Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of what? Darkness. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Darkness, or Christless life. Amen. Has a power. It's not a power to live right, but a power to do evil. Paul, when testifying to King Agrippa about the light and the voice that he heard on the Damascus road, when Jesus had spoke to him, amen, and sent him to the Gentiles, he said this in Acts 26:18, that Christ had sent him to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith, he said, that is in me. There is a devil, church, and he's out to destroy you and me if we let him. Matthew, the 4th chapter, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, if anyone ever gets turned from darkness to light, it's going to take the gospel. Amen. Our only hope, church, is in the gospel. In it is revealed the power of God, the will of God, the promises of God, all the attributes of God, and the mercy and forgiveness also of God. Now, as we get into the message, we want to deal with the thought, where did the devil originate from? This brother that wrote me the letter made it very clear. He put some things in red, and he capitalized a lot of things. Amen, letting me know that I was completely off track. He let me know it's right there in plain English where the devil come from. And again, the only scripture he quoted was in the book of Revelation, the 12th chapter. And we'll get there just a little later. Amen. Where did the devil come from? And why is the devil necessary? Now, there's a real deception taught by those who do not know the truth. And I'm not here tonight to belittle anybody who believes different. But I do ask you to examine it. Examine the teaching that you've learned under the light of the gospel. The devil would like to make you think that he abode with God in the eternal heaven and once was the chief of the angels, but because of disobedience was cast out into the earth. Also, he was a good angel who got swallowed up with pride, exalted, and God had to cast him out. Now, before we get into some scriptures, let's just reason with this just for a moment. In order for the devil, if he was a good angel, To get swallowed up with pride, he had to be tempted. Is that not correct? Next question. Where did temptation come from in heaven? If you could get tempted in heaven, what's to prevent you and I from being tempted in heaven? Don't we always teach that, amen, their battles are over? Amen, that they're in heaven now? They're free from all that? Amen. Really, when you start using common sense, amen, you'll know that it cannot be possible. All right. Now, we're going to go to some of these scriptures and see what the scripture actually teaches. Many times, people take verses out of context. What? To build a theology, to build a doctrine. They just pull out two, three verses and see, there's what it says. Amen. And right off of that, they build a doctrine. One of the major, if not the most prominent scriptures one used, is found where? It's found in the book of Isaiah. Turn with me to Isaiah, the 14th chapter, verse number 3. We're going to start reading Isaiah 14 and 3. This is probably the most prominent scripture used, if not the most prominent. Here we go. We're going to start in verse number 3. Now, we're going to read these verses, amen, and try to point out verse for verse what the prophet is talking about. Isaiah 14, verse 3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. Okay, now let's understand this much. It's a proverb. I say it. We could call it even metaphor. Proverb. Does he not say that? We'll take up this proverb against two. Not against the devil, against the king of Babylon. And say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller has come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved from thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they that shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we are, as we. Now remember, this is still a proverb. Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Now here we go. Here's where the change comes to those who teach different. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. That doesn't look like he's there. It doesn't look like he's saying that. Amen. I will exalt my throne above the stores of God. I will set also upon the mount of the congregation, in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I'll be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now listen. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, consider thee, saying, is this the man? Stop right there. Is the devil a man? Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? We know the devil is a spirit. It's not a man. Verse 12 was one of the main scriptures handed me when I was at the Orient. Now let's look at this proverb for a moment. Let's take it in its context. First of all, who was it written to? Who is the main character that the prophet is prophesying about? Verse 3, the king of Babylon. Who was the king of Babylon? Who was lifted up in pride? Who was brought down to eat grass as oxen? Anybody that's did any studying at all knows we're talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Why was he brought down? Because he got lifted up in pride. Let's prove it. Go to the book of Daniel. Chapter 4. Now stay with me tonight. Amen. Verse 29. Daniel 4, 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Who? King Nebuchadnezzar. The king spake, and he said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, thy kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. Amen. And Isaiah said in verse number 4, he called it the golden city. What's that tell you? Babylon was called the head of gold.
Amen.
Turn to me to Daniel, the second chapter. Amen. Verse number 36, Daniel 2. This is a dream, and will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the men of field of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls, amen, of the heaven hath he given unto thee, and made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. Verse 12. Lucifer, or shining one, representing like a star, amen, that's how quick Babylon was brought down from its lofty heights. You cannot build a doctrine on the scripture. It's not talking about the devil. It's talking about King Nebuchadnezzar. This scripture doesn't even hint, amen, that it is a devil, but it's part of the same proverb against the king of Babylon. Isaiah 14, 16 says what? Is this the man? The devil, everyone in here ought to know, is a spirit. Ephesians 2 and 2 says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worketh now worketh in the children of disobedience. Again, the devil is a spirit. Luke, the fourth chapter. Let's pick out another one. It's amazing when I was down there to the Orient, it's amazing. The ones that are in there that are confined or incarcerated, the religion they have been taught, amen, before they entered into those places. But this seemed to be one of the main things they brought up. They didn't bring up hardly anything out at all, but they brought up this subject right here. And this is what this pastor, I wrote him back a letter, and he wrote me another letter. Amen. Sticking to the same scripture, Revelation 12, let me know I must be blind if I couldn't see that. Now, it's hard to explain the revelation to somebody in prison without hearing a message along that line. So I'm going to have to go to other scriptures to prove the point. Luke 4:33 says, and in a synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. The devil is a spirit, and he cried out with a loud voice. Verse 34, let us alone. What we have to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. I want to repeat, the devil, amen, is a spirit. He may use a man, but he is a spirit. What come out? Unclean spirits come out. Mark the 7th chapter, verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, the Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Amen. Now let's go to another. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. Ezekiel 28. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation against the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up this sum, amen, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of all God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabor to thy pipes were created or prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Who's he talking about? The king of Tyrus. Verse 12. His reign started in righteousness. Amen. He was like Adam, he brings up before the fall, perfect in beauty and wisdom. He was anointed like the cherub, otherwise consecrated unto his office as king. Ezekiel sees his fall, just like Adam fell, amen, and was cast down. Amen. Verse 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Why was he cast down? Because of sin. Well, let's get another one. Let's go to the New Testament. You know, not only, amen, do I get letters from places like the Orient or different places who see the trumpeter, but I'm not so sure everybody within the congregation understands these truths. Amen. And if you, amen, don't understand it, stay with me. Just don't take it as a teaching message. Understand these things. You need to know these things. Why? Somebody might ask you. Luke the 10th chapter, verse 1. The 70 had been sent out and now returned. Verse 1. And after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, sent in two and two, amen, before his face into every city and place, whether he himself will come. Drop down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Here we find that the apostles had joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Jesus' reply was that he saw, he knew what was going on. Darkness and evil was cast out of men's lives. He saw men conquering evil, how? In his name. Jesus went on to say that the real reason for rejoicing is not over the power they possess, but rather their name was written down, amen, in heaven. And that's just how quick the devil can be taken out of somebody's life, amen. The devil can come out of somebody's life just as quick as lightning would fall from heaven. Let's look at another. This scripture is the one the brother from Chillicothe wrote me about. Revelation, the 12th chapter. Somebody said, well, this is upsetting. Don't get upset. Don't get upset if you don't understand it. Study it. Be fair. Be honest. I can see how ones would believe certain things that they believe. Amen, if they take the scriptures out of context. Amen. But study them within their context. All right, Revelation, the 12th chapter. Now, we know the Revelation is a symbolic book. Now, we know symbols are used throughout the Word of God, but especially so in the Revelation. Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse number 7, beginning. Revelation 12 and 7. And there was war in heaven. Now, do you actually believe that there'd be a war up there where God's at? If there was a war there once, why couldn't there be a war there again? There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Amen. Now I want you to notice something. Amen. He was already deceiving the whole world before he was cast out. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Again, he was an accuser before he was cast down. Which accused him before our God day and night. Now, Revelation is a symbolic book. There never was a war in heaven where God dwells. And there never will be war in heaven where God dwells. What are the scriptures talking about? Without preaching a whole message, amen, on the 12th chapter of Revelation, I'm going to have to hit some highlights. The battle here is talking about the battle against paganism, the pagan Roman Empire, which was cast down by the preaching of the morning time church. Amen. Paganism is a worship of many gods. Was the first foe the morning time church encountered. The Bible says, cast out in verse 9, and that's 2. And in verse 10, it says, cast down. But you want to notice something, I want to repeat. He didn't become an accuser of the brethren after he was cast down. He was an accuser before he was cast down. This is the scriptures used, amen, by their brother who's been writing to me from Chillicothe. And he stays on that same scripture in both letters. He don't move around. He doesn't go to Isaiah. He doesn't go to Ezekiel. He doesn't go to Luke. He stays right there in the Revelation. Paganism is a worship of many gods. Acts the 17th chapter. Now listen, look at the battle Paul was in. Acts 17, 16. Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the whole city, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. I understand reading from commentaries, amen, they had more statues than they did people back in Athens. Amen. Multiplicity of gods. And it grieved Paul. Amen. What did he do? He told him about, amen, the one true God. What was he doing? Casting down the multiplicity of gods. Paganism. Amen. What were some of Paul's final words to us? 2 Timothy 4 and 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Christian is in a spiritual battle. Amen. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles or craftiness of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, the Revelation says angel. Amen. Michael and his angels. Who are the angels? Amen. Well, they have more than one meaning, but they are a ministering spirits to those who shall be heirs to salvation. Let's get some scriptures. Hebrews, the first chapter, and verse 7. Hebrews 1 and 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. Go to verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. They ministered to Christ. Matthew 4:11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Amen. They ministered to Peter. Amen. In Acts the 12th chapter, verse 5 to 10. They ministered to Paul. In Acts the 27th chapter, verse 20 to 25. But sometimes the word angel means ministers. Not all the time does it mean, amen, angelic beings. Galatians the 4th chapter. Amen. Paul was an angel. He was called an angel in Galatians 4:13-14. Mephibosheth, when he was speaking to King David, said this in 2 Samuel 19:27. And he has slandered thy servant, amen, unto my lord the king. But my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do whatever is, therefore, what is good in thine eyes. Revelation, the 2nd chapter, 2. Revelation 3, amen, 22. There are seven letters addressed, amen, to the seven churches of Asia. And every one of them is addressed to the angel of that particular congregation, beginning with Ephesus and ending with Laodicea. Amen. The angel there means pastor or overseer. Amen. Jude, the 1st chapter, verse number 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Amen. Now, two things brought these ministers or messengers of God down was pride and lust. Turn with me to 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter. Amen. Amen. Who are these angels that sin? Not angels in God's heaven. Somebody said, how do you know? Because it's not consistent with the scriptures.
Right.
Heavenly messengers do not have free moral agencies. To sin, to commit sin, there must be a choice of right and wrong. He's talking about men of God who forsook the right way and followed after greed and lust. Turn with me to Jude again, chapter 1, verse 11. And I know I'm jumping in. A lot of scriptures here, but stay with me. Jude 1:11. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily after the Arabian for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Peter said in 2 Peter 2:15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. If heavenly angels sin, then there would be a plan of salvation for them. The Bible says they know nothing about the plan of salvation. Turn with me to 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. 1 Peter, the 1st chapter, verse 8. Whom having not seen you love, and whom though you now see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. Amen. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Why was the devil put here? Why? Well, you and I are free moral agents. Within us, we have a right to make a choice. Amen. But to have a choice, there has to be more than one. There has to be something else to choose. The devil is not out here tempting. Amen. He's not out here tempting animals or nature. Amen. But he works on us who have what? Freedom of choice. He makes bad look good. He makes wrong look right. He makes sin look holy. But we as God's people can know the difference. How? Through the Word and the Spirit of God. Where did Satan come from? Well, I believe Jesus explains it as well as anybody could explain it. And he does it in one verse. St. John, the 8th chapter, verse 44. Where did Satan come from? Let's read it. St. John 8, verse number 44. I won't be much longer. John 8:44. Here he's speaking to the religion of that day. Ye are of your father the devil. That's pretty strong. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. What does beginning mean? Isn't that the start of something? Can you go back any farther than the beginning? No. Everything has a beginning, and you can't go beyond the beginning. And he was what? A murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth. Otherwise, he wasn't an angel with God, abiding in heaven, abiding in truth. Why? Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and what? The father of it. What was he? He was a murderer from the beginning. 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 He just didn't fall out of heaven. That would have made him an angel from the beginning. God created the devil. Amen. Isaiah 45 and 7. The prophet speaks. Speaking for God. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace, create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Go with me to Genesis. We won't be much longer. Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse number 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now we know what happened here. The serpent was the tempter. Yea, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Amen. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26. Deuteronomy 11, 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Who does that? God's talking. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. Amen. Who is a prophet? Amen. Or who is Moses talking about? Who sets good and evil? Amen. God says, amen. If you obey the commandments of the Lord, your God, which I command you this day. God sets good and evil before us. Why? You choose. You don't have to be good. There's evil out there you can choose. You don't have to be evil. But by the grace of God, you can overcome the evil and choose good. The devil is no one to fool around with. And if you're not saved, he's leading you around on a leash or a chain. And you go so far, and he'll jerk at the way to defeat the devil is to go to Jesus. Right. And we know Jesus will destroy the works of the devil. Right. Now we have to be careful, church. Amen. We have to be real careful. The devil isn't using serpents like he did in the garden. Right. But the devil uses husbands, wives, children, people who have forsaken the right way. Our duty is to stay close to Christ. Amen. And Christ will guide us to all these devilly spirits that are existing today. Amen. Our job is to stay close to Jesus Christ. Let nothing draw you away on the truth of God's word. Satan is necessary. And it's through overcoming him that you have a testimony. When you stand up and testify on Wednesday night, amen, who do you testify? What do you testify about? You're overcoming the devil. He's necessary. Why? Without the devil, you would have no choice. But there is good, but there has to be evil also. Amen. I know this is just a broken, quick, amen, view, amen, of their ordinary, where the devil originated from. Amen. It would take more than just one message, I'm sure, to go through and point out every single scripture used to propagate that theory. Amen. But some of the main scriptures used is Isaiah, the 14th chapter. The Revelation, naturally, is used. This man who wrote to me is a pastor. He even dresses his name as a pastor. Amen. So he taught that. And of course, along with that, there's other thought series. There's other false things. There's, amen, the the false teaching on the tribulation. Amen on the Antichrist. Amen on the millennium. All those things come right into play. Amen with that same theory. Amen. So I trust tonight that you got a little understanding of where the enemy originated. Again, Revelation, the 12th chapter, is not talking about the war in heaven where God dwells. It dwells about, amen, it's talking about where Satan dwelled in the minds of men. Amen, in the days of the morning time church, and that had to be cast out of the minds of the men that the church faced at that time who believed in multiplicity of gods. Do you understand, man? Maybe a few do. Let us stand.